Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. This morning, I want us to look at another powerful truth that has not yet happened. How many of you know Jesus is coming again? I want to tell you what keeps your pastor rolling on Monday morning. It's the fact that Jesus is coming again. What keeps me going through the week, knowing that Jesus is coming again. And so if you have a Bible this morning, we're going to be most of the morning in 1 Thessalonians, very familiar passage of Scripture. Concerning the rapture of the church. 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 4. And verse 13. When you find that, would you stand as we honor the reading of God's Word? And if you can't stand, you just honor God's Word as best you can. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For," now listen to this, "if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." Father, would you seal these words to our heart here this morning? God, would you make it real to us that we believe in a supernatural, miraculous Savior and Lord. We believe in some things that some folks would say, "Them people down there at Second Mile are crazy." But Lord, we're crazily in love with You. And we believe Your Word and what it says and what it means to us. So speak, Lord, Your servants are listening. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's children said, amen. Amen. Please be seated. Now the Apostle Paul is writing to some new believers, young believers there at the church in Thessalonica. And by the way, it is so important that new believers, brand new Christians, get under the Word of God. It is so important that a little babe in Christ find his or her way to a Bible teaching, Bible preaching, Bible-believing house of God. Amen? Amen? And so Paul had founded this church in Thessalonica, and he had spent some weeks there with them, and now he's riding from Corinth back to the church at Thessalonica. Now, you remember what Jesus had told the disciples, "I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, that where I am, there you may be also." Well, the church had claimed that promise. And it had been served. By the time Paul writes this letter, Jesus had been gone for, been sent back to heaven about 20 years. And so some of these young believers during this time had begun to question, what's going to happen to our loved ones who have passed away? Are they going to be disadvantaged? Are they going to be left out when Jesus comes again? And they had all these questions, and their hearts were burdened for their loved ones who had passed away. How many of y'all have had a loved one pass away here in the last few months? Several of you. How many of you have lost? Well, I think probably everybody in here has lost a loved one and had to say goodbye to a loved one, haven't you? Well, the passage that we're reading today ought to bring you great blessing and encouragement. I tell you what this passage is all about. It's in verse 18. It says, "Therefore, comfort one another with these words." Comfort one another with these words. And there's tremendous comfort in this passage. First of all, in verse 13, the Apostle Paul writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that we can have hope in the midst of sorrow. Even when a loved one passes away, we can go to a graveside of that loved one who is in Christ, and we're going to grieve, we're going to sorrow, we're going to be sad, but we don't grieve, we don't sorrow as others who have no hope. Can I just park right here and tell you, I have done funerals for folks who did not have a relationship with God. And I want to tell you, it is a heart-wrenching thing to conduct a funeral service at a graveside for people who have no hope of ever seeing their loved one again. Terrible. But I want to tell you, that is not the case for the bride of Christ. We have all the hope, concrete hope, that there is life after death and that we will see the Lord and our saved loved ones again. Somebody shout, amen. So what great comfort that is. And then verse 14 tells us, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. So right there, Paul's cluing us into the fact as to what happens when a believer dies. Well, he describes that process, and the New Testament is pretty clear about that. A believer who dies, their body sleeps. Y'all went to sleep? Well, I guess Teddy may not have been to sleep yet, but most of you went to sleep last night, and what happened? Thank you. You woke up. Well, that's relative for some of us in here. I'm wondering, are y'all awake? Y'all with us? Okay. And so the Bible describes that their bodies sleep. Now, what happens to our spirit? Well, our spirit is, if you're in Christ, you're immediately ushered into the presence of God. I mean, everything that makes you, you, when you die, is ushered into the presence of God. What makes you, and that spirit, our spirit, that's who you really are. Look at old Rick Tobler over here. Doesn't he clean up nice? Doesn't he clean up good? He was down here working and serving this past Friday, doing some things here at the church, and I've come to know and love Rick, and he loves God's people, and God's done a work in his life, and if you're around Rick very long, you're going to hear about what God's done for him. And what makes Rick the way Rick walks and talks and acts, that's who he really is. His body just houses who he is. Am I communicating with anybody? And so when we die, our bodies sleep, they go to the grave, but our spirit, the Bible says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Your spirit immediately goes, and when Jesus comes again, guess who He is bringing with Him? Those saved loved ones of ours who have gone to sleep. He's bringing their spirit with Him. And their body and their spirit at that moment are going to be reunited. And so you see, these loved ones of ours who are born again, that's the key, whether or not you're born again, whether or not you've been saved, but they're going to have a body like Jesus. Do you think that brought comfort to the Thessalonians? Oh, I wonder about Aunt Susie. She's gone on. When the Lord comes, is anything going to happen? I mean, am I not ever going to see her again? Oh, yes. Aunt Susie is just asleep. And one day, her spirit will be reunited with her body, and she's going to have a body like Jesus. Isn't that comforting today? How many of y'all want to look like you're 25 again? I thought that'd get a rise out of somebody. Some folks think we'll look like we were when we're 33. Because that's how old Jesus was when he, in earthly years, when he went back to heaven. But that's just kind of setting the table this morning. I want you to get if you have a pen or a pencil out, write these four things down. But four times, there's four either wills or shalls in verses 16 and 17. You see that the first one there, for the Lord himself will descend. And then at the bottom of that verse it says, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain. I want you to circle those four wills, or maybe your translation says shall. Because those four wills, those four shalls, give us four great promises to hang our hat on. Are you ready for them? Three of you. Are you ready for them?
Yeah.
Here's the first promise. The Lord himself will descend. Circle that will. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. A shout. What a promise. The Lord's going to return. Now, 333 times in the Old Testament, the Old Testament predicts and prophesies that Jesus would come, that the Messiah would come. Did he come? And I want to tell you, all of these predictions and promises of the Lord's second coming are going to come true just like he came the first time. If he kept his promise the first time, hallelujah, he's going to keep it the second time. And so where is Jesus right now? He's at the right, thank y'all. He's not out here in the middle of Riverside Drive. Now his spirit is everywhere. But the Lord Jesus himself, the glorified man, is at the right hand of the throne of God. And soon and very soon, I believe, he is coming. And by the way, Joseph Smith is not coming. Buddha is not coming. Hare Krishna is not coming. David Koresh is not coming. The Hale-Bopp Comet is not coming. It's Jesus himself. He's the one who's coming. Amen. Go ahead and give God praise for that. Now, it says, first there will be... Now, there's three sounds that accompany his coming. Are you tuned in with me now? First of all, it says, the Lord himself will descend from heaven. He's going to stand up from the right hand of the throne of God, and he's going to come down. He's coming down. He's descending. And when he does that, he is going to what? Shout. Well, you know, every time Jesus shouts in the Bible, guess what happens? A resurrection takes place. Woo-wee. You remember he showed up at the tomb of Lazarus, his best buddy, so to speak. And he said, Lazarus! And of course, y'all have all heard this 1,000 times. If Jesus had not called for Lazarus to come forth, everybody in the graveyard would have got up out of the cemetery that day. Lazarus, come forth. And a dead man, a man who'd been dead 4 days, came up walking out of the grave. My, my, my. When Jesus was on the cross, the Bible said when he died, he cried out, "It is finished." And the Bible says that graves outside the city of Jerusalem opened up, and many of the saints came walking into the streets of Jerusalem. And so when Jesus shouts, somebody comes to life. And on this day, when the Lord himself descends from heaven with a shout, now I don't know exactly what that's going to be like. I don't know what John 5:28 says, when they hear his voice, they will hear his voice when he shouts. Revelation 4 and verse 1, when John was called up into heaven to see that marvelous vision of the book of the Revelation, John was told, come up here. Come here, boy. Come up here. I don't know exactly what God's going to say. He can say what he wants to say. But I believe, I'm of a firm belief, I'm going to hear my name. You see, God not only knows your number, he's got your name. He knows all the hairs on your head. He's got them numbered. Or not numbered for some of us. Hello. Goodness. He's going to shout. And when he shouts, we're going to hear. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. That's the promise. And so, And then there's a second sound, the voice of the archangel. What's up with that? Well, you remember over there in Jude chapter 9, the archangel Michael wouldn't let Satan harm the body of Moses. And so here's what I think. The archangel's going to say something. And, you know, the archangel might be akin to Pastor Cal. He's kind of got a smart aleck mouth from time to time. And he might just say, "Your plan didn't work, Satan. The saints are coming home." I don't know what he's going to say. He may say hallelujah. These folks can say whatever they want to say. Amen. But that's what's going to happen. Jesus is going to shout the voice of the archangel. And then there's going to be a trumpet sound. A trumpet blast from glory. Now, trumpets were important in those days. In biblical days. They used trumpets for all different kinds of things. And there was one particular trumpet that was used to assemble the nation of Israel. And I wished I could have gotten her. There's a lady Glenn Kennedy knows that plays the shofar. And we had her play that thing over at First Baptist one Wednesday night. And I thought the roof was going to come off the Baptist church. She got up and played that shofar. Well, I don't know if it's Gabriel or who's going to be playing that trumpet. But when the trumpet sounds, Gabriel's going to toot and we're going to scoot. Amen? Hallelujah. And so all the saints of God are going to be together again. So that's the first promise. There's the promise of His return. Look at your neighbor and say, "He's coming." And then there's the promise of resurrection. We've already touched on this a little bit. But 16b says, here's the second will or the second shall. And the dead in Christ might, will, shall rise first. That's the second shall. Now, this is the promise of resurrection. And you've got to understand what salvation is, first of all. When you get saved, you are joined to the Lord Jesus forever. Have you read Romans 8, 35 through 39 lately? Well, since we didn't get an answer, we're going to do that. This is going to touch somebody today. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. This will even make us shout in here today. Romans 8, 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? All of those things we would think might have the potential to separate us from Christ, from His love. As it is written, verse 36, "For your sake we're killed all day long, we're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, listen to this, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus." Somebody give Him some praise. You cannot be separated from the love of Christ. God just loves you and you can't do anything about that. And we love Him just simply because He loved us. And so even death can't separate us from the love of God. What a marvelous truth that is today for us, brothers and sisters. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And by the way, there's only two ways to die. Only two ways to die. You can die in your sin. And the majority of people today are dying in their sin. And they will pay. That's what Jesus said. Wide is the gate. The vast majority of people are going through that wide gate. And I don't know why it is every funeral sermon I've ever heard, everybody's going to heaven. Everybody is not going to heaven. The majority of people are dying in their sin. And they will pay for their sins for all of eternity. But hallelujah, there's another way to die. You can die in Christ. You can die in Him. He's paid the price for all your sin. He's taken your punishment. He's taken God's wrath for our sin. Why in the world would you want to die in your sin and pay for your sin when Jesus paid it all? Hallelujah. And so dying in Christ for for those people who have died in Christ, that have gone ahead of us, here's what they've got to look forward to. You might have been in a plane crash and gone down. Maybe your loved one was their body was consumed in a fire. Folks, somebody died down on the Amazon River. Maybe somebody's remains are at the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean. How's God going to do all that? How's He going to put them back together again? Well, anyone who can create the universe out of absolutely nothing can raise anyone from the dead. Anybody that created us, and you are wonderfully and marvelously made. Did you know that? You are, look at you and say, you're God's piece of art. Think about this now. That God is able to resurrect you. Susan and Deanne, I think about our dad laying there on One Abbey Lynn Lane in that old hospital. Bed, body is emaciated from tuberculosis, dementia. And I thought more than once his dad was down to under 100 pounds. And he's laying there in that bed, and I thought, sown in dishonor, but raised in glory. There is a resurrection coming, and the Lord Jesus Christ is going to raise the dead in Christ first. Whew, we've got the promise of resurrection. Y'all ready for the next will? You ready for the next shall? Look at verse 17. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught, there it is, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. You know, I've had some, I won't tell you what denomination it is, but I've had some preachers tell me from time to time, rapture is not in the Bible. So what? Neither is covered dish. And we believe in covered dish. Come on. Neither is the words Sunday school or a lot of other things we do. But the Latin Bible, which was written centuries and centuries and centuries ago, is the Greek verb here is harpazo, which means caught up, snatched away, almost with violence. That's what that word means. And so in the Latin Bible, that word is rapio, which we get our word for yes. And so that's where this word rapture comes from. This third shall is the promise of rapture. And those who are still alive will be raptured, will be caught up, snatched away. And, I've quoted that old Bill Gaither song many times, learning to live, learning to die, and one of these days I'm going to learn to fly. We believe some wild things, but the folks who are still here at the return of the Lord, the people who are in Christ, they are going to ride. They're going to hear the Lord shout, and He descends from heaven. And then they're going to hear the voice of the archangel and that trumpet of God. And dead believers are going to rise first. And then wherever you are, what if I'm in the car driving down here to church? You're going to rise up out of that car. What if I'm in a plane? You're going to rise up. The pilot will leave the plane. The captain will leave the ship. Bless God, the cook will leave the kitchen. And the quarterback will leave the huddle. I mean, we are going to rise to meet the Lord in the air. I can just see it now. We live in Sango. My two daughters live down south. One in Waynesboro, one in Florence. And if the Lord returns soon, which I believe He's coming soon, Diane and I will be going up in Isaac. By the way, y'all, yesterday, May the 4th, was his celebration day. He was saved 5 years ago, right, yesterday. Hallelujah. Well, the three of us, son, are going to rise. We're going to learn how to fly. And then we'll look down there in Alabama, God's country. Because nobody else will have it but God. Woo! You Tennessee fans ought to explode on that one. And I'll see my two daughters and my two son-in-laws. And my daddy. Oh, he'll beat me there. He's already been ready. My sweet little mama that lives a quarter of a mile from me out in Sango, she's going to ride. All God's children are going to be raptured, taken out of here, snatched away. Glory to God. Oh, I hope you're a part of that great getting up morning. There's one, it's 10:30, mercy. We get out of time here. There's one final shall. Are you ready for this? I don't know if you are or not. And thus, latter part of verse 17. So we've had the promise of return, the promise of resurrection, the promise of rapture. And here's the fourth shall, the promise of reunion. Reunion. Woo! I like that. Verse 17c says, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. No more separation. No more wondering how granddad's doing. No more wondering how my sister is today. We'll all be together forever. How many of y'all like reunion? Ooh, I better not ask that. Some of y'all might not like your family. We had our big Hampton family reunion out at Spring Creek Campground 2 weeks ago. And man, the Hamptons are prolific. I couldn't believe how many children there were there. But all my four sisters and I had our kids there. And my mama had her grandchildren and her great-grandchildren there. We had a great time. But I want to tell you what, there's another reunion I used to go to that puts the Hampton reunion to shame. And it's my wife's family. The Stokes family. There's a Stoke hiding behind every tree and under every rock. And my daddy-in-law's here. Where is he? He's not paying attention. Okay. And Ethel's back here. Yeah, she's another Stokes. I'm surrounded by Stokeses. But Big Daddy and Granny, their parents used to have a family reunion up at Russellville, Kentucky, once a year. At the Jefferson Davis Monument. Y'all ever been up there? And so we did that once a year, and everybody and their dog went to this Stokes family reunion. There's tons of people there. And you'd pull up, you know, in the morning and get out your lawn chairs and your food, and all the picnic tables had food everywhere. There's enough food to feed an army. And the children began to immediately hit the playground. You know, there was a playground out there. And the teenagers, believe it or not, didn't pull out their stinking cell phones. They went and played ball or did something else that was fun. And, help me, Jesus, but we need to get past the cell phone thing and get to know one another again, amen, and get to communicate with each other. And these reunions were unbelievable. Then the adults would all sit down and they'd start sharing stories and swap, you know, the old men would sit over and swap lies and the women were all, and then the grandparents started pulling out their pictures. Look at this sweet, gorgeous little grand. Anyways. And then we'd sit down and eat, and this Stokes family reunion would last. How long, Ethel? All day, wouldn't it? And along about dusk, people would start packing up. Trunks on cars would pop up, lawn chairs go in, empty coolers and empty grocery sacks, and we'd all hug one another and everybody'd say, see you next year. Well, next year came around and there was always somebody that wasn't there because they'd gone on to be with the Lord. And I always remember Diana, Granny and Big Daddy seemed so sad when our family would go home. There's another reunion coming. And we will never, ever be separated again from our saved loved ones. We will be with Jesus And now do you see why Paul says, therefore, comfort one another with these words. No more pain. No more suffering. No more cancer. I hate cancer. No more sorrow. No more divorce. No more abused little boys and girls. No more heart attacks and stroke. No more issues. We'll all be like Jesus. The Bible says we'll see Him face to face. And no more death. And best of all, no more sin. Gone. All of eternity will be together. Some glad morning. Maybe May the 5th, 2019. The preacher's finishing up his sermon. And all of a sudden, there'll be a shout. Come up here, Cal! And the voice of the archangel will shout, Hallelujah! And that trumpet blast will go off, and the Lord Himself will descend from heaven to come get His bride, His church. And dead believers will burst out of their graves singing, Oh, death, where is thy sting? Living believers will rise singing, Oh, grave, where is your victory? And we'll look up and shout, It's Him! It's Him! It's Him! And somebody, maybe Patty Sandy, will start singing, We shall behold Him. It's coming. He's coming. And yes, Ellen, I've said all of that to say this. If you didn't hear anything else this morning, hear this. You can't go to heaven until heaven gets in you. You cannot go to glory until glory gets in you. And the Bible is crystal clear on how someone is born again, how someone is saved. The Bible simply says, if you would confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, not Savior, the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart, confession comes out of the mouth, heart, what man believes unto salvation. Guess what? If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, there's another shout. You shall be saved. Is God changing your life? Is God moving and melting your heart? You know, He loves us too much to leave us the way we are. God's still working on me, so you can't... You understand what I'm saying? He's working on all of us. He loves us too much to leave us the way we are. Thank God for that. Has God changed your life? Is there any difference today than when you claim to have Him? There should be. And that may be why you've got doubts in your heart today. If I had any doubt about where I'm going today, there wouldn't be enough demons in hell to keep me from praying. Oh God, please forgive me. I realize my sins are ever before You, but I believe that Jesus paid the price for all my sin. And I believe He's alive today. And I know, Lord, Your Word says He's coming. And I want Him to come for me. Come into my life. I receive You today as my Lord and my Savior. Would you just bow your head right now? You need to pray that prayer. You need to pray that way. Please do so right now. You don't need a preacher. You don't have to. It's just you and the Lord. You just pray right now where you sit. That's right. Just pray, Lord. I'm a sinner and I need Jesus. Please remember me today. I received what you did for me. And by faith, I'm trusting you and you alone as my Lord and as my Savior.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.